And last week we talked about the prologue, which was mainly about the angels visiting Zechariah and Mary and what happened with that. Today we're going to talk about the arrival. And I want today to focus on that passage that Graham read to us from Matthew and see what Matthew wants us to understand about the arrival of Jesus, because it's very defined, it's very clear, and it's important that we understand it. Now, the first thing in the very first line that Graham read to us was this: the birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. Matthew wants us to know that Jesus is the Christ. And that's actually something that starts in Matthew 1 and works all the way through the book. Matthew wants us to know that Jesus is the Christ. Now, it's important we understand what the Christ is. The Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah, so they mean the same thing. And what they mean is the anointed one. Now, then you have to ask yourself, what does the anointed one mean? Because anointed one is not language that we would use today. I am looking forward to the Queen's message at 3 p.m. on Christmas Day. I hope many of you are too. But the Queen was an anointed one when she had her coronation. They did this sort of a little bit out of the way of the camera, but they poured anointing oil on her. And it was something that she was felt very strongly about. When Archbishop Sentamu was anointed Archbishop of York, they anointed him with oil at his request. That wasn't part of the standard ceremony, but he felt that he needed anointing. So what is this anointing that makes Jesus the Christ? Well, the word Christos, or the word Messiah, basically, they simply mean to have been smeared with oil. Now, it doesn't sound that posh, does it? It doesn't sound that impressive. Jesus, who has been smeared with oil, doesn't win you over immediately, does it? You don't immediately want to follow Jesus on Instagram, do you? Let alone Twitter or Facebook. You just think, well, he's smeared with oil. But this was always something that took place to mark out people for roles of leadership. And what Matthew wants us to understand is the Jesus who was born is the leader. He is smeared with oil. He is the one who is singled out. And you have to understand there only is one Christ. There won't be another. There wasn't one beforehand. Jesus is the Christ. So it's very important to us that we see this and understand that right from the beginning of his incarnation, that is him taking on flesh and blood, becoming like us, Jesus is the Christ then. He is born Christ. He gets baptized and goes into his ministry. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. But he was already Christ. He was smeared with oil. He was singled out. He was anointed by God. Jesus is the Christ. And that is a key part of Matthew's message. My second point is Holy Spirit. It says that when Mary was discovered to be pregnant, and just think about that for a moment. Just think about the shock and the horror. Then it says this, that she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I would find that hard to believe. particularly if I was Joseph. You know, honest truth, that's a big ask to believe that she was pregnant of the Holy Spirit. But Matthew wants you to know this at the start of Jesus' ministry, that his mother was made pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And just as John tells us in his narrative, which people say there are only two gospel writers who tell us about the birth of Jesus, but that's not really true, because John has a darn good go, because John starts even further back, and he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he goes through a process where he tells us that the Word became flesh and moved into our neighborhood. And that is exactly what Luke tells us. It's exactly what Matthew tells us. They just have a slightly different perspective and want us to see it in a different way. But just like John brings in the Holy Spirit, Matthew brings in the Holy Spirit. John talks to us about the Word being involved in creation. And of course, so was the Spirit. The Spirit was involved in creation. But in John's Gospel, it's in chapter 3 that we read about the Holy Spirit comes and hovers over those that he recreates. And that the Holy Spirit is still involved in creation. It's this time it's recreation. And the Holy Spirit is involved in us when we become followers of the Christ. But the Holy Spirit hovering over a Virgin Mary is not mythological. Nor is it unrealistic in any way. It is just the sort of behavior you expect from God. The Holy Spirit hovered over creation. The Holy Spirit hovers over those he recreates. The Holy Spirit hovered over Mary. And in doing so, Mary became pregnant. This is not a crazy thought. It is simply divine. And Matthew wants us to see that. Matthew wants you to know Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Who was Jesus' dad? Well, it certainly wasn't Joseph. It was God the Father. And how amazing, how absolutely stunning that God involved a human woman in it too. You know, this is something which historically, because we are a church that has sprung out of the Protestant movement, that we try to bury Mary, particularly at Christmas. We try to forget she exists. But do you know what? Mary was truly an amazing person, that she was prepared to say yes to God, and that the Holy Spirit hovered over her, and Christ was born. This is stunning. The Holy Spirit is involved in the birth of Jesus. The Holy Spirit creates Christ the Lord. Not that Jesus Christ was created at that time, but his body was. He became flesh. And what a huge step that was for God to become flesh. How do we even... How do we even join the dots up with that? How do we get our heads around that? That Christ became flesh. Well, he had to. He had to become flesh to die for us. But how stunning, how amazing was this truth? This was the work of the Holy Spirit. My third point today is about a dream. So Joseph is being asked to believe that his wife-to-be is born of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you will say, it says that he proposed to divorce her quietly, and then later on it says he decided to marry her. And some of you will say, well, that doesn't work. I don't understand. How can he think of divorcing when he's not married? You have to understand that culturally, at that time, engagement was it. When you were engaged, technically, it was not stoppable that you were going to be married. Engagement was very, very important. He was betrothed to her. She was betrothed to him. Marriage was the inevitable outcome of that. And to have got out of that would have been divorce. Marriage took place when the act of marriage took place, which is when sexual union took place. And that was marriage. At this point in time, Joseph is in chaos. He's going crazy. He doesn't get this at all. And Joseph has a dream when he sees an angel. Now, let's make this very clear. This is not a too much pizza incident before bedtime. This is not having had something that makes you dream. This is a meeting that took place in the night when all is quiet and nothing is diverting Joseph's attention. Can I suggest to you, Joseph's mind was all over the place. And only when he slept could God get his attention. And it's then that the angel appears to Joseph. So this is not a nightmare gone wrong. This is God using an opportunity when a man's mind is drifted off the thing that was obsessing him, and God can get through. And how often is that true in our lives? That God has to look for an opportunity when we will listen to him. However that works out, it's very important that we make time to hear God, particularly if our minds are going 10 to the dozen. If stuff is going crazy in your life at this moment in time, then do as my wife suggested earlier, make time for God this Christmas. Listen to God. You know, rest. Take time when God can get through to you. I often think of Holman Hunt's Light of the World picture, where Jesus is knocking at the door. Revelation 3:20 is quoted. And he's knocking at the door, but there's no handle on the outside. And, you know, I showed that picture at the primary school when I was doing an assembly last month. And I said, can anyone tell me what's missing in this picture? And I thought, I'm going to have to help them with this. You know, these are primary school kids. There's reception class in all the way up to age 10. I'm going to have to help them with this. And instantly a little boy stuck his hand up, about 7 years old. And he said, there's no handle on the door. He saw it straight away. There was no handle on the door. And we need to remember that Jesus won't force his way in. We have to open the door for him. And that's whether you want him to talk to you or whatever you're trying to do with your relationship with God this year. It's very important that we open doors for him. So, Joseph, in this state of being open to God, in this dream, meets with the angel, and the angel tells him where the baby has come from. It is no longer now Mary telling Joseph something that could be a cock and bull story, that could be made up, even though he loves Mary and he inherently trusts her. She is asking him to trust her over something which has never happened to anyone else ever in the history of the world, and she wants him to believe it about her. Would you? It's a big ask. And so, in the night, the angel tells Joseph, it's okay, Joseph, you can go ahead and marry her. The child that is born of you is born of her is holy. It's of the Holy Spirit. This is amazing. Be sure of this one thing, that what Joseph needed to know was that he was marrying a virgin. That's what Joseph needed to know. And the angel tells him this. There is no man slept with Mary. And Joseph, this is where we realize the caliber of the man he was, takes this on faith. He believes the angel. Remember how last week we talked about Zechariah and how Zechariah didn't actually believe the angel. Joseph believes. The priest trained in the word didn't believe. Joseph, the man trained in carpentry, does believe. Isn't that amazing? Note that Joseph has to name him Jesus. It is his responsibility. It isn't Mary's job to name her son. It's Joseph's job. And the angel gives Joseph this job, this responsibility. How interesting, isn't it, that Joseph has to name the child? When you named a child in those days, you were also claiming that child out of your history, out of your family lineage. You are claiming that child as being someone who will carry on your lineage. Joseph gets that job. Think about that. It's quite a powerful thought. God has a way of talking to us at critical times that is particularly direct and clear. And this was Joseph's experience. If you come to me and you say, God's spoken to you in a dream, I'll listen to you. I'll listen to all sorts of people. I'll listen to you. Because God has spoken to me in dreams. But he doesn't do it all the time. If you come to me every week and say, God's spoken to you in a dream, I might sort of say to you a few things that you might be uncomfortable with. But, you know, the reality is that God does speak to us in different ways at different times. I remember waking my wife up having had this dream where I had been in the back of this car and I'd been driven along this road outside of this city, which was clearly in America because they had those railway crossings that you only see them in American movies. You know, it was just, you could drive across and it was just nothing like what we would have. You know, we'd have men in white coats measuring off distances and doing risk assessments and putting up barriers. And in America, they just don't bother. But I had this dream and I saw this sort of red earth and various things. And I witted my wife silly over the next few days about this dream. And then I turned on the TV one day at someone else's instigation. And I saw this scene that I'd dreamt about. And it was in St. Louis, Missouri. And my wife said to me, go on then, buy a ticket. And off I went on a jaunt. And, you know, at the end of the day, what woman do you know who's crazy enough to say to her husband, go and spend our very menial savings by going on a trip alone to America to a place you've dreamt about? Well, that tells you the faith that my wife has. And, you know, the reality is there was a whole story about that. But, you know, God spoke to me through a dream. And God has spoken to me a number of times through dreams. But doesn't happen all the time. But then, you see, I do make time daily for God to speak to me. And I would suggest to you, you should do that as well. The other thing that Matthew wants us to understand is that he is Jesus. He is Jesus, he is Christ, and Joseph is to call him Jesus. It's important that he has a formal naming ritual, and he is given the name Jesus. And of course, Jesus means God saves. And it's so important that we understand that our Jesus is the God who saves. Our Jesus will save his people from their sins. And this is a terribly important line in Matthew, because right at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, Matthew is saying, Jesus is the Christ, he's the Messiah. He is the one who's come to save his people. But Matthew doesn't leave it there, because he doesn't want people to think Jesus has come to save them from the Romans. Jesus has come to save us from our sins. And that's what Matthew's gospel is all about. Matthew wants us to see this. And it's right there at the beginning, so that we can't get messed up along the way. So that we don't get all crazy about who Jesus is and what he came for. Jesus has come to save his people from their sins. Jesus is Saviour. And if you want to have a really good word for Jesus, if you want to have a name for him, call him by his name, Jesus, because it means Saviour. And Jesus is our Saviour. My last point this morning. It's Matthew, again, that makes this point. Matthew is the gospel writer who was always quoting the Old Testament to prove that Jesus fulfilled it. You read from beginning of Matthew to the end, it's all the way through. Matthew is quoting scripture loads. And he says here, and this is just a typical Matthew expression, now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. Now, this is really important that we grasp this. At this Christmas time, at this Advent season, Matthew wants us to understand this, that not only does Mary become pregnant of the Holy Spirit because the prophet said it, not only did she give birth to a son because the prophet said it, but that son is God. Now, when I was at school, my primary school teacher, God bless him, he's long dead now, Mr. Hodgson, his wife was a strict Baptist and loved children, and when he would make me cry in lessons, she would take me in the lunchtime and put her arms around me and pray with me. And I often think that must have been a very difficult marriage. But she was a lovely woman and he was a right man. He really was. But he would say to me, nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus is God. And I was only 9, 10. I didn't know. I just knew that people told me it did. But now my teacher, who's a man in authority over me, is telling me people haven't said that because it doesn't say that in the Bible. But of course it does say that in the Bible. I mean, John's gospel is the gospel that you can barely flick a page over without John telling you Jesus is God. And he carries on, and this is why I have no doubt that it's the same John who wrote the book of Revelation, because Revelation's the same. It's all over the pages. Jesus is God. But here, Matthew's having a go. Matthew says, this son, this Jesus, this baby born of the Holy Spirit to Mary, this baby is God. And he's God who's come to live with us. Just as John says, this is God who became flesh and dwelt with us. Moved into our neighbourhood, as the Message version says, which is just a wonderful way of putting it. Matthew wants us to know that this baby is God with us. Don't get all gooey about, oh, it's a lovely baby. This is God. He's in a lovely baby shell. If you pick him up, he looks like a baby. And please don't make your doctrine on the basis of a few crazy Christmas carols. Because I don't believe for one moment that the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. And I also don't believe the little Lord Jesus, no pooing he makes either. You know, this is not an amazing birth where Mary just goes, and out comes the baby. It's a messy business. And this is a real child. But I love the song, Mary, Did You Know? Which says, did you know, Mary, that when you kiss your little baby, you're kissing the face of God? This is God. This is not just a little baby. This is God. God who is experiencing for the first time what it is like to be born and to be in a manger wrapped up in swaddling bands and be waiting for his mother's breast. This is God. This is God experiencing something for the very first time because he wants to be like us so he can die for us, so he can give us life. This is God. This is Emmanuel. Emmanuel is not some Jewish sounding name that is so, oh, he shall be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. It's not just the song we sing. This is God. God in human form. And this is the message of Matthew, stating the divinity of Jesus. And if you like, the summary of what I've told you this morning is four words. Jesus, Christ, is God. This is who we worship. So, the arrival of Jesus was as much a problem for Joseph as it was for Mary. And I'm not wanting to get all manly on you now and make out that it's harder for men than for women, because it was hard for that woman, I tell you. Giving birth is something that I am really privileged as a man that I don't have to do. But, you know, this was hard for Joseph too. And out of that hardness, out of that difficulty, is born God in human flesh. The Christ, the one smeared with oil, the one set aside for us. The Holy Spirit's involved in it. This is the whole Trinity's operation. This is not one of the Trinity going off half-cocked, making up a story and a plan. And this isn't just Jesus' plan. This is the whole Trinity doing this. And Matthew wants us to understand that and take that on board. Because Jesus is Saviour. Jesus is God. This is our Christ. Amen? Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, this morning, we want to honour the Jesus who is born Christ, who is born God, who is born of the Holy Spirit. We want to honour you, Lord Jesus. We are glad that you arrived, and we are very glad that you went through the torturous life you did to give us your life, so that we could spend eternity with you. Lord, we aren't in eternity quite yet, but we thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us, and we look forward to your second advent when we will spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name, amen.